1 John chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 20 and 21. 1 John chapter 5, reading verses 20 and 21. John writes, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses here this morning. This morning, as we continue on with that of our study in 1 John, we are coming upon that of the last verses of the epistle. We have two verses left. We will be focusing in on verse number 20 this morning. And then this afternoon, we will focus in on that of the last verse of the epistle. For the past several weeks now, we have been looking or considering that of the postscript of the epistle. In this postscript, which begins with verse 13 and goes to the end of the epistle, John has brought before us a summary of various themes which he has written about here in this epistle. And these predominant themes are the certainty of eternal life, the certainty of answered prayer, the certainty of victory over sin, the certainty of belonging to God, and then last of all, the certainty of knowing the true God. And it's this last certainty of knowing the true God that we come to here in the verses which are before us. My subject this morning is the true God and eternal life. The true God and eternal life. Now, as we consider that of our text this morning, which is verse number 20, and we'll read that again, John writes, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Just as John has spoken of certainties in the previous verses, he writes again of another certainty here, which is before us. You'll note that he begins verse number 20 with these words, "And we know." And we know. The conjunction "and" is one which basically connects it to that of what has just been said. It connects it with that of the other certainties which John has been setting before us here in these closing verses. He says, "And we." John includes himself and that of his fellow apostles and those to whom he is writing to here, as he says, "And we." Those to whom he was writing to were those who had believed upon the name of the Son of God. And as we consider what John says here, and he uses that pronoun "we," as he included himself and the fellow apostles and those who were believers in Jesus Christ, we can also likewise, in the same manner, include ourselves in that of what John is about ready to declare unto us here in our text. He says, "And we know." We know. In addition to that of the certainties that I've already written to you about, he says, there is another certainty that we can declare unto you. He says, "And we know." Now, John writes here of a knowledge which is one of certainty. He writes of a knowledge which is from above. This knowledge that John speaks of here is not a knowledge that everyone has been given. No, as we look at the first few words here that John writes here, he includes himself, he includes the apostles, and he includes the audience to whom he is writing to, who are described as ones who were believers in Jesus Christ, who had believed upon the name of the Son of God. And so the ones that he speaks of here, who has this certainty, this knowledge, is ones who are children of God, who are believers in Jesus Christ. This certainty, this is something that those who are believers in Jesus Christ have, and no one else. He says, and we know that the Son of God is come. What does John tell us that we know? Well, there are several things actually here in the text that he's going to declare unto us. But the first thing that he declares unto us here in our text is that we know that the Son of God is come. Now, as we look at that declaration and that statement, we may say, well, yes, that is true, and we could possibly just go on. Or we could, for a moment, stop and think about what John here is stating, which is what I want us to do. What is it that we know? Well, we know that the Son of God is come. What is it that we know? We know as we go on in the passage, and we'll come back to these statements here in just a moment. John tells us not only do we know that the Son of God has come, but we know that He has come and has given us an understanding. He has given us an understanding. Not only do we know that the Son of God is come, John says, and we know that He has given us an understanding, but He has also given us the purpose of His coming and giving us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Note how he words this. He says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that, here's the purpose statement, that we may know Him that is true. Not only that, he goes on to say, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. And then he says, this is the true God and eternal life. Now, John speaks of a certainty here. It's the certainty about that of the knowledge of Jesus' coming. It is a certainty with regards to that of the understanding that has been given to us, that of the purpose or that of the reason why He came, and that of something about us in regards to that of this one who is true. And that this one who is true, that this is the true God and eternal life. We know the Son of God is come. Note, he doesn't say we know a Son of God has come. No, beloved, John says we know the Son of God has come, which distinguishes him, beloved, which sets him apart. Now who is this one that John describes as that of the Son of God? He is from eternity, the second person of the triune God. Eternally begotten of the Father. He is in time God manifested in the flesh. Born of the Virgin Mary. This is the one, beloved, whom John describes here as the Son of God and who has come. The very second person of the Trinity, in that of human flesh. This is who John is speaking of here. And he says, he has come. He says, we know. We have this knowledge. We are certain of this very thing. He has come, sent by God. He has come in the fullness of time. He has come made of a woman. He has come made under the law. He has come and died bearing the penalty of our sins. He's come and died, buried, and has risen from the grave. He has come and ascended back to heaven and is now seated at the very right hand of the Father. Who sent him? The Exalted One. He says, we know. We know that he, that is the Son of God, we know that the Son of God is come. Now, as we've noted, the very certainties that John speaks of here in this epilogue or the postscript, whatever you want to call it, the closing verses. What John has done in these verses, he has brought up once again for a kind of a finality, or finale, that of the predominant themes that have run throughout the epistle. And one of those predominant themes that has ran throughout that of the epistle is the very fact, beloved, of the Son of God, that he has come. If you look back over in the very beginning of the epistle, John begins the epistle with these words. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Here in that of the very beginning of the epistle, John sets before us the Eternal One. The Eternal One who has come in that of human flesh, whom he describes as one who has been seen, one who has been handled, looked upon, the very word of life. And he says, we have heard him, we have seen him, we have looked upon him, and our hands have handled him. Think about it. John here is not writing something that he was just merely told about, beloved, but he was writing about something that was reality to him. Amen. And likewise the other apostles. He says, we know that the Son of God is come. Back in chapter 4, John writes in verse number 9, "And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Note in both of these verses that as John speaks of that of the love of God, he speaks of how that God had sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that we might live through him. And then down in verse 14, he says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Oh, beloved, Jesus didn't come on his own. No, beloved, he came with that of authority. He came, beloved, the very Son of God, sent by that of the Father, to do that of a work of redeeming lost sinners. And he came willingly to do so. And he accomplished the work which God the Father gave to him to do, which we can rejoice in. We know, John says, that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Oh, beloved, as we note that phrase, beloved, and hath given, beloved, it's a gift that John here speaks of. It is indeed that of a gift of grace. It is a gift of that of divine favor, beloved, that John speaks of here. He says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given who? Us. Now, in using that little pronoun us, beloved, John is not just speaking of himself and the apostles, but beloved, he is writing to that of an audience who were believers in Jesus Christ. And just as he said in the very beginning, and we know, and he included the audience, beloved, he includes the audience in that of this pronoun us here. He has given us an understanding. What does John mean by understanding? What is this understanding? What is the source of this understanding? What does this understanding have reference to? Why does John make this statement? He speaks of a gift. And that's wonderful. And beloved, it's a gift of grace, believe me. But what is this gift? You know, we all have gotten gifts before and they've been wrapped up and we didn't know what was in the box, right? Sometimes we do. A wife, she seems to always know. I'll always know what's in the box. Beloved, here John speaks of a gift. And he describes it as an understanding. Well, first of all, we'd say to you, as far as the source, it's not us. It's not of our doing. The source of this understanding is the very Son of God. Note how John writes this. He says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us. Now, who is the source here? Beloved, the only answer that is the correct answer here is that of the Son of God. Because John says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath. Who hath given? Who has given? The Son of God hath given. The Son of God has given us an understanding. The word understanding is found 13 times in the New Testament, the actual Greek word here. The word means of the mind. The faculty of thinking, comprehending, reasoning, understanding, intelligence, the mind. The gift is the ability to comprehend and understand, and the comprehension and understanding being in regards to something that is particular that John speaks of here. The gift is the ability. Now, beloved, as we think of this ability, we would say to you that not, as we've already said, not everyone has this. But you see, it's a gift. It's a gift. Paul tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. The natural mind is darkened. The lost man is blind to spiritual things. It is the one, beloved, who has been quickened and made alive, given sight and enlightenment from above, who has been given this understanding. The Apostle Paul, as he went down that road of Damascus with that of papers in his hands to take all those who were followers of Jesus Christ into bonds and to put them in jail. Beloved, it was there on that Damascus road that the Lord spoke unto him. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And beloved, it was that same Jesus that opened up that of the sin-blinded eyes of the Apostle Paul. It's the very same Jesus who opens up every set of eyes to have the understanding that John speaks of here in that of our text. He says he's given us an understanding. And what is that understanding? What is that comprehension? That we may know him that is true. John gives us here that of a purpose statement. He makes two declarations in the very beginning that we know that the Son of God has come and that he has given us that of an understanding. And then he tells us why. Why did Jesus come? Why has he given us this gift, this special gift of grace? Well, he tells us the purpose, that we may know him that is true. Now, I want to draw your attention to a couple things here. Not only, or several things, not only is this a purpose statement, that, in order that, for this purpose, but as we come on down in this verse, we note that he speaks of him that is true. We have the word true that is used three times here in this verse. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So that word true, we need to look at that word. But also there's another word that I want us to take a quick glance at, and that is the word know. Now, we had the word know in the very beginning of our text. John says, and we know. And we told you that what John was saying there was we know, we have a knowledge. It's a knowledge that has been given to us. It is a knowledge that is a knowledge that is a knowledge of certainty, assurance. We can be assured. We can stand upon it, so to speak. We know. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. The word know here is a different Greek word. This Greek word speaks of that of knowledge, but it's knowledge that would be that of intimate knowledge. personal knowledge, that we may know Him. You see the idea of personal knowledge right there. That we may know Him. That is true. The word true here is used three times, as we've already noted. It is used of God in the last part of our text. This is the true God and eternal life. True in contrast to the false. That which is true, that which is genuine, that which is real. This is the true God and eternal life. Getting back further in the text, it says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Him that is true. Him that is genuine. Him that is real. And we are in Him that is true. That is real, genuine. You may be sitting there, well, what does this mean, Brother Steve? Note the last statement that John makes here in our text. This is the true God and eternal life. What John is contrasting, and we're going to see that in the very last verse of the epistle, is that of the contrast between that of the true God and, beloved, that which is the false. Which is what he has been doing all along in the epistle. Which we'll see more so in our evening message, or afternoon message. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him, John says, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's look at these statements here. We may know Him that is true. We may know Him in that personal, intimate way. Let me stop here and ask you this question. Do you have that of a personal relationship with that of the true God? Do you have a personal relationship with that of Jesus Christ? Do you know God as your Father? Do you know Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, as your Savior, as Mediator? As God? We may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true. We are in Him. Now, there is a lot that could be said probably about that statement. But there's just a couple thoughts that I want to share with you this morning on that. The reference here is to that of Jesus Christ. Well, you know what he says, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. How are we in Him? How are we in Him? Beloved, we are in Him by that of a vital connection, beloved. Beloved, we are in Him, beloved, by that of the grace of God. By that of the regenerating work of God within us. And that of faith in him. Now, in making that last statement, by faith in him, beloved, we're not saying that regeneration is a result of us having faith. Because, beloved, it's just the opposite. Faith is a result of the regenerating grace of God in the heart of individuals. We believe, beloved, in Jesus Christ because of what God does in us. Because of God's grace shown to us. For you see, beloved, except for the grace of God, we would continue on in that of darkness, blindness of sin, to that of our eternal death. We may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That word "this" is a demonstrative pronoun. It is pointing to that of a noun. And what noun does it point to? It points back to, beloved, that of the Son. His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see, beloved, Jesus was sent by the Father, and Jesus came and he has revealed to us the Father. This is the true God and eternal life. Over in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Over in John chapter 17, John gives us the account of the Lord Jesus praying to the Father. And listen to these words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. As he prays, he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal." What is life eternal? "That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." How do we know the true God? We know the true God, beloved, through that of Jesus Christ. That's how we know him. That's how we know him as our Father. That's how we have eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. I close this morning by asking you this question. Has God visited you? Oh, if he's visited you, you'll know. But you won't be able to stand it without making it known. Do you know the true God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the hope of eternal life, which is given through the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone who believes? Let us stand and let us turn to the back of our bulletins and we'll sing this closing hymn.
Sinner Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all, through the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receive the sinful men, make the message clear and plain. Christ receive a sinful man. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinful rest. Christ receive a sinful man. Sing it all.
Services at 4, and we'll be looking at that final text here in 1 John, where John writes, little children, keep thyself, yourselves, from idols. And a strange statement. We'll look at that. All right. I'm going to ask Mother Donna to lead us in closing prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you for your love to us in Christ Jesus, for the all-sufficient Savior we have in him. Lord, we praise you that by faith we are thy children. Lord, we pray that you might help us to rejoice in our salvation, to be joyful. Lord, may thy Holy Spirit be our teacher. Lord, we pray that you would give us richly the things of Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for thy precious word, for the revelation of thyself and of the good news of all that Christ has done. Lord, we pray that you would bless us now as thy people as we part. Lord, may you cause your face to shine upon us. May you guide and direct us. Lord, lead us, we pray. For Christ's sake, we ask this. Amen.
Amen.
Debbie said the mac and cheese was doing better.
Yeah.